voice.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. 2 weeks talking.
Collective Mind.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace. What up? We back in the building. Build it, family. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rigel.
Hotep, Habarigani, Aslan Alekdom. This is Brother Montoya, a.k.a. Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio family. We are back. Again, we are in the building. This is Collective Minds Radio, where we all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. So what's going on, everybody? We appreciate you joining us. Hope everybody had a good week. You feel me? And, yeah, we back. You know, hopefully to share constructive dialogue and conversation with the family. Make sure y'all hit us up. The number is 929-477-1697. But yeah, we hear it now, like we always do before we get started. Queen Rigel, how was your week, and do you have any announcements for us?
Let's see, do I have any announcements? I usually don't. I don't think I do this time around, but I had a very busy, productive week, like always. I never complain long as I'm moving forward, you know, just trying to keep it positive. Just been very busy, very productive, very active, on the go, nonstop. But, I guess I will just make one brief announcement. One project I'm working on is a Halloween party with my daughter. So if anybody is into celebrating or just having a good time for that, you can join us this Friday. I put the link up. You guys can check it out for anybody in the St. Louis area.
All right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And Brother Mufasa, how was your week? And do you have any announcements for us?
Hey, I had a good week. And I don't have any major announcements. The announcements that I will make, I'm going to save it till we go into the show. Because it'll be a part of our conversation.
Okay, no doubt. All right, family, yeah, I do have one announcement and, you know, to check with the family, see if y'all heard about this. Now, I don't know, you know, from time to time we talk about stocks and whatnot, but there was a stock this week that your boy Trump was, you know, talking about. Actually, it's one of his stocks. It's called Digital World Acquisitions, right? So with this stock, I think it's like what they call a special interest company stock or whatnot. And this is supposed to be the company that's going to start Trump's social media platform. And as of, let's see, when was this? As of October 21st, right? October 21st, this thing was sitting around $9. And since then, in the past, what, a couple days, actually, because today is the 24th. So Friday and I believe Thursday and Friday, this thing shot up to like $170, which is a crazy return. So, right. So You know, apparently we're not in the mood. Somebody had put me on to this on, I believe, Saturday after it had already went up and whatnot. But it's called Digital World Acquisition. This is Trump's company that he plans to start a new social media app or whatever with. And that thing, if you was in the loop, I know Trump and his boys, and you know, they made a lot of money. But if you was in the loop, you know, you would have basically 10x your money. You know, it went up something crazy, like 1,000%.
Brian, you know, I got Brian that we listen to sometimes on YouTube. He actually made that announcement.
Wow.
Yep.
So it went from like $8, $9 all the way up to $180. Right now it's sitting at like $94. You know, people expecting it to probably go up some more. Who knows? You know, usually when it go up real fast, they usually fall, you know, just as fast. So, you know, this is not financial advice. I ain't telling nobody to go out and get it. You know, I'm just sharing this information that it pays to be in the loop. So I'm sure they was talking about this on, like, you know, social media blogs and, you know, these little chat rooms. And if you're in the loop, you know, like I guess Roger St. Brian was, it may be wise to pay attention to some of these, because there was a few other stocks that was also connected to this that went up as well. So it was another one called Funware, which is spelled P-H-U-N, Funware, and it went up around the same time. So let's say on the 20th of October, it was around a dollar, and that thing shot up to $24. Well, almost 24. It got up to 23.98 or somewhere up in there. So close to $24 from a dollar. So that's 24X in your money if you was in a loop. And that's a technology service firm that's connected to Trump as well. So your boy Trump on a low, he making some money for his homies and his cronies. You feel me? So it, you know, it pays it to be in the loop and see what's going on, because a lot of these stocks are jumping. You feel me? But yeah, I just want to put that out there, see if you know, see if anybody heard about that. But you know, always do your research, always do your due diligence on these stocks, because when they go up, they come down just as hard, or you just never know with the market. They could continue to still go up, so you never know. You feel me? But anywho, we in the building, family. This is Brother Kev, Cosmic Kev, here at Collective Minds Radio. Make sure y'all hit us up. The number is 929-477-1697. And I'm going to defer to Queen Rigel and Brother Mufasa. If y'all got anything that y'all want to put on the table for the family to discuss, you know, let's go ahead and get it.
Okay, well, right now I don't have anything right now. So I'm just kind of looking forward to joining in the chat.
Okay, let's get it. Brother Mufasa, what you got on the table for us?
All right, I got two things. First, with that, I did want to chime in, and I did hear a little bit about that stock market thing, the last one you talked about. And man, that's frustrating me. This whole stock, Bitcoin is up to all-time high of 60, I think it hit 66,000.
Yeah,
so I'm 67. Like, dude, this is, all this mess is frustrating me. I get in, get out, it's like it's something watching me. Where when I'm in, it don't want to do nothing. And I know the saying is you're supposed to stick with it, stay in and ride it. I ain't had that much patience of late. So I'm thinking about getting back into a couple of things, and we'll see, though. But, yeah, I need to do better with my investing. Two things I had on the table. One is, I don't know if y'all are familiar. I spoke with Roger a little bit about this, or what's going on with these chips. In these auto industry, recently over the weekend, I had put my car on CarMax for sale. It's a 2019 Impala. And I put it on CarMax for sale, and the price came back that they'll pay my car off and put like $2,000 in my pocket. So I took it to the Chevy dealer. They offered to pay it off as well. And I think it was Carvana also made me a nice offer. So I've been doing some investigating on why these dealers are paying so much for these cars. So here it is with this chip crisis. Apparently, the car manufacturers don't want to – well, let me take that back. The chip manufacturers are not manufacturing the chips for these automobiles. They saying it's outdated technology. They want to continue making chips for, like, cell phones and stuff like that. And they telling the automakers, basically, you need to get with the times, you know, create something that can use our newer chips. Automakers don't want to do it. So, basically, chip makers like, well, the hell with you, we're going to keep pushing and doing things our way. So, the car manufacturers, they have problems manufacturing these cars because they can't get chips. Now, that trickles down to the car dealers. They ain't getting product. So now car dealers are offering, you know, nice money for your vehicle. So that's why I was going to make that announcement, but I just said I'll wait and bring it up in our discussion to see how y'all heard about that, see how you felt, and to let you know if you got a decent car right now that, hey, you might want to make some money off of and you want to part ways with it, now seems to be the time. Because apparently this is not going to let up for possibly another 2 years. So I want to share that with y'all and see that y'all know anything about it. Because, hey, I'm going to go ahead and bust a move with my car. That'll get me out of a note and put some money in my pocket. You know, I'm trying to be debt-free. So
yes,
let me know if y'all heard about that and what you think about that situation.
Well, yeah, you know I've heard about it. I've definitely heard
right.
about it. And
not.
I mean, he's right. I mean, I was just saying that he's definitely right. I mean, it's crazy out here in the car industry. For those that don't know, I do own my own car dealership. So I'm definitely involved. And when going to the auction, it's very different. It's not a lot out there. And like Mufasa said, it has an effect on us dealers because we have to pay more for the vehicles now. We actually pay within the profit margin. Normally we get cars, you know, wholesale. Wholesale is gone right now. We are actually buying vehicles as a retailer almost. So therefore the cars are even more expensive now. So like Mufasa saying, if you have a car, this is definitely a time to sell. If you want to sell, it's hard to buy because you're going to be, it's going to balance out because you're going to sell, you're going to make a nice profit when you sell, but when you try to rebuy something, all your profit is going to be gone into the next vehicle that you purchase. So if you just have a car that you just want to sell, you've been sitting on it, and you want to sell it, this is the time to do it.
Interesting. Yeah, I haven't, heard about that particularly, but I do know it sounds like that's a result of, the inflation that's going on, which we kind of said was coming with everything going up in price. I know they were saying that some companies and manufacturers was having some issues with shipping things and getting products and things like that. So it seems to me that, you know, it seems like inflation is here. You know, it's hitting the inflation. I mean, it's hitting the car industry. You know, for a long time it was hitting the manufacturers like Home Depot. And now we probably about to start seeing it hit, you know, just regular everyday items, grocery store, you know, household items and things like that. So, yeah, it just seemed like the inflation kicking in after they printed up them billions of dollars for COVID. you know, it's finally, you know, it seems like it's finally catching up with the economy. And
there's a shortage on everything.
Yeah, there's a shortage on everything, and everything's going up.
Yeah, and they say by it all ties in. The shortage is definitely going to make it go up even higher. They say it's a shortage on blood.
Right.
This is a shortage on blood. That's to let you know how serious it is out here.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, yeah, it's going down. Like I say, with the all the spending they was doing for COVID and whatnot. Like I say, it seems like that's starting to catch up with everything. So, yeah, we'll see how that play out. Now, just to understand what you were saying like the chips that go into the cars. You could break that down for me one more time. The chips that the car manufacturers are making and putting into the cars is
outdated. From my understanding,
it's outdated.
The chip is outdated technology. You know, so the car manufacturers are not making their cars to accept the new style chips.
The chip manufacturers,
they like, look, we're not going to keep on producing those. We can move on. I mean, they got other electronic devices that, you know, they can put money into, so they're like, look, y'all need to come on with it. We're not going to keep making those chips. And I'm sure it's more to it, but that's the understanding that I have right now. But mainly, I just wanted to let y'all know that if this is a prime time to sell a car, if you're looking to get out of a car loan or just, you know, make you some extra cash, this is a good time for that.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right. All right. So did you have anything else you want to put out there?
The other thing I wanted to put out there was I need y'all to tell me what's the deal with this. Now, Jada Pinkett has admitted that she slept with a younger person, you know, underage male. I'm hearing Mary J. Blige has. These women have been coming out are being exposed to sleeping with minors. Now, I don't see anybody getting arrested. I don't see the
outcry.
Wait,
who said that? You said Mary J. Blige and who else?
I heard Mary J. Blige confess to sleeping with an underage person at some point. You know, it's a lot of rumors going around about these females who have slept with underage, who have slept with minors.
Really?
So my thing is, where is the outcry? Why come the women don't get in trouble? Why they don't get locked up? How is it? It seems like it's a double standard. Why do women, you know, it's okay for women to sleep with younger men or underage men? How they get passes?
You know what I'm about to say, don't you? The men not complaining.
With.
The men aren't complaining about it. That's why. See, the women begin to complain and speak about it until the men start to say, I don't like this activity. Then you can see the outcry. If the men loving it, who's going to complain about it? They're not pressing charges on no woman. It's just not happening, Mufasa. I'm not saying that it's right or anything like that. I'm just saying most men think they glorify stuff like that. They are happy and proud to say that they was with an older woman. They're not getting ready to go to no police officer and say, hey, I want to press charges. I'm violated. That's why. So I want to know, what's wrong with the men that think that's okay, that they not complaining about it, they don't feel violated by an older woman getting with them like that? That's what I want to know.
But you do feel
why
that
is
it's
it okay
just as bad.
For the men.
But you do feel that it's just as bad, right?
Yeah, personally,
like, would you,
I do.
Like, so you would be an advocate.
I'm,
for these young men?
For the record, let me tell you this. I'm not into no young men. I'm not into no babies.
So you're not an older woman that like all men?
No. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mike. I'm not her.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean,
with that,
me, I mean, oh, young guys just don't have what it takes. You know, they still have a lot of growing up to do. They just don't have what it takes.
Right, right. Now, I feel like, you know, that's interesting, and we, as we know, there is a double standard. But, no, I think if, you know, if any of the allegations are true, and we got to say allegedly, yeah, I think they deserve to be dealt with. You know, if you're an older person taking advantage of a young person,
Brother Ken,
I do see that as a problem. What?
Well, if it's a problem, why the men ain't going out complaining like the women did? Why they not mad? I might she touch me.
Maybe they scared.
Right. They may just not.
Now,
I mean,
minute,
you know the. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm serious, Brother Kev. Go ahead. You can build on it. I'm for real.
No, I was just going to say, you know how it is being raised in this society, how men supposed to, you know, in a certain sense, you know, try to conquer as many women as possible. So it's nothing for, you know, a little boy to maybe have a crush on his, you know, female teacher or whatnot. And they may think it's cool if they was to get to, you know, hit the teacher or whatnot, or hit one of the older females, you know. So in that sense, it's kind of different, and that's probably the reason why the guys are not coming out as it's a problem. But again, in that situation, I feel like if you're the older person and you're manipulating a young person, even if the young person did initiate it, I feel like that's a problem, you know. Personally, I feel like that's a problem. But, again, it's just the way the society structures. So, yes, there is a double standard when it comes to that. And, you know, I kind of get it to a degree, but that don't make it any less wrong or whatever. It don't make it right, you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
That's why I'm at.
I definitely want to hear what the callers, how they feel about it. I also want to give a shout-out to a real good friend of mine, who is a black business, a black woman business owner. And she has a company called Moves Make and Bake. She's going to have an event at the Edge Collective, and that's at the Mid Rivers Mall on the 30th. There'll be multiple black-owned local vendors and free giveaways. I'm hoping that she will call in and maybe give us a little bit more info on what she'll have there and what else is going on at that event. But again, that's on the 30th, the Edge Collective, and that's at Mid Rivers Mall. So, yeah, if y'all want to get to the callers, or you want to, Brother Kev, you got something else you want to put on the table?
Yeah, I just got one thing I want to, just one more thing I want to share with the family. You know, what they call a teachable moment. This is why it does not pay, you know, to be a coon and go against your own folks. So I sent this story to y'all, but I'm just sharing it with the family. I don't know if y'all had a chance to look at it, but there was a black MAGA fan who did not even participate in the January 6th, you know, Capitol riots, the Capitol siege. He wasn't even there. But yet he gets the longest riot sentence to date, according to this article. So he was sentenced to 14 months after posting online threats to target rhino traders, or the people who did the, you know, the Capitol riots traders or whatnot. He blames the color of his skin for his unfair punishment. So this is a guy named Troy Smocks. He was 58 years old, out of Dallas, Texas, received a long sentence so far in connection with the January 6th Capitol riots, even though he was not physically present. So Meanwhile, these people who participate in the actual ride, they're getting slaps on the wrist, right? They're getting probation. Some of them just getting fines. Some of them getting a couple weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a month or two. You know what I'm saying? But they're giving these folks slaps on the wrist. But yet you have a black man who wasn't even there and just posted some online threats, and he gets the longest sentence in connection to it. So let me just read this real quick, and then we can get to the call lines. I want to hear what folks think. It says, a federal judge has handed down the harshest punishment yet for someone involved in the Capitol riot on January 6th, sentencing a Texas man who was not physically present at the riot to 14 months in prison. Troy Smocks, a black man from Dallas, had admitted posting threatening social media messages online the day after the riot from a Washington, D.C. hotel room. His sentence is the longest term to date resulting from the federal investigation of the incident at the nation's capital. Smocks, 58, appeared before U.S. District Judge Tanya S. Chutkan for sentencing Thursday on one felony count of transmitting threats in interstate commerce. And he quotes, this is his quote now he referencing Martin Luther King. He says, "I'm no Dr. Martin Luther King, but we do share the same skin color and the same idea of justice. I just want to be treated equally," Smock said after his sentencing, after claiming he was being treated more harshly during court proceedings due to the color of his skin. Okay. You think? Now, see, this is, you know, that's why it doesn't pay to be the comb, because these people use you and then they'll throw you under the bus at the same time. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to put that out there. I don't know if y'all got a chance to read that story, but, you know, a black man in connection to the riot but wasn't actually there gets the harshest sentence. Meanwhile, you got a lot of, you know, the Mayo militia that participate in a riot, they're getting slapped on the wrist. So I just found that interesting. You know, I don't know if y'all want to chime in or y'all got to see that, but, hey, that's,
I got the chance.
That's the way
it
goes.
Yeah, I got a chance when you sent it. But do you know the one guy that looked like the high school prep rally captain? What did they give him? Was, I think at one point they were talking about just maybe giving him a slap on the wrist. And his picture was everywhere, the guy with the shirt off and looked like he was at the football game, the high school football game, with the horns.
Yeah. What you talking about, the shaman or whatnot?
Yeah,
I'm not sure what happened to that guy. You know, but
he did some crime.
Right. Yeah, he went on like a fast or whatnot, but apparently he's not getting a longer sentence than 14 months. You know what I'm saying? So whatever the sentence is, it was a slap on the wrist compared to what he did. You know what I'm saying? You got people that actually stormed the Capitol, you know, basically an insurrection to the government, took classified information, broke in offices, stole laptops, you name it. Compromise the security of the U.S. government. Like, they did. They committed all types of crimes.
And Brother Terry, remember, had the audacity to even think about filing charges on the officer who shot one of the people storming into the Capitol.
Right.
You know what?
Exactly. So he probably, you know, he getting a slap on the wrist. According to this article that dropped October 14th, he's trying to, previous attempts to win a release over the last 9 months. He did plead guilty last month to felony charges of obstructing Congress. And he was charged with 2 felonies and 2 misdemeanors. But it doesn't say exactly, you know, how long he got. But, again, I'm assuming, you know, he probably just got slapped on the wrist. You know.
Oh, yeah.
So, we seeing the type of games that's being played, especially, you know, when it comes to the Capitol riot. But, so he gets sentenced November 17th. So I'm not sure that which that already passed. So I'm not sure what his sentence was, you know. But he was sentenced on the 17th of November. Yeah, what'd you say?
You say November, right? So it'll be next month.
It's October. You're right. I'm sorry. I got my months mixed up. Right. So November 17th is when he'll be sentenced. And they say he faced up to from 41 months up to 60-some months, I believe. So, you know, we'll just see how that play out. Maybe his sentence will be longer than, you know, the 14 months that they gave to the black man. We'll see how that goes. I wanted to put that story out there. I thought that was pretty interesting. And, I digress. Family, hit us up. The number is 929-477-1697. This is Collective Minds Radio. Let us know what's on your mind. Let us know how your week been going. And, let's get it. Did you want to hit the call lines or did you want to put something else out there?
Yeah, we can. Area code 314. 381 caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on you, Roger.
What?
What's up, caller? Peace.
Yeah, we're gonna keep an eye on Roger. They mentioned them young men. What they always say, ain't nobody around. It's different. Feet get to shaking and everything else. What did he say? Is he couldn't say no more than Marie Chappelle Nadal.
Right. What
your
she
state?
Said?
Your state legislator out in New City, who said, "I wish, no, I hope that Donald Trump is assassinated," on Twitter. She using black privilege.
Really? And that's a real thing.
Uh-huh. Then you got that other guy, the Capitol Guard, police, the black man, I can't think of his name, he used black privilege because he killed Abbott, killed the white woman.
Right. Right, he was doing his job. She broke the rules. She should follow the law, right? Why didn't she just comply to his orders?
He didn't tell her nothing. He didn't tell her anything. No,
he
didn't.
You can hear that.
He shot across the room, endangering other people.
No,
she should have complied. She should have complied.
Well, then that black man at Burger at the Jack in the Box in Atlanta should have complied when he tried to fight the police and run.
Said that you said that back then when it happened. That's why we know that you got to be fair. You got to keep it fair. So you can't be.
Yeah. You had some more black preppers go on in Texas with that kid that shot them 4 in that school. Shot 1 4 times. And they give him simple assault. Then when he gets out of jail on pennies on a bond, $75,000, he goes home and they throw the big party for him.
Yeah, he was being bullied, they say.
Well, this is something that has been going on for some time, according to the news conference that those women was having. I don't know if any of it was his mama. I think she's incarcerated, but I'm not sure. Well, here's the thing. They said it's been going on for some time, right? then why come the adults did not deal with it?
Right. I
and he's 18.
That.
The kid he beat up was 15. So that's showing some irresponsibility. He driving a $30,000 Charger in high school with diamond ring in his ear and gold teeth.
Oh, is that true? See, I'm not aware of that.
Well, it's in the picture. They finally did put a picture out. And it mentions about the Charger. He left school in his car, threw the gun on the parking lot.
Maybe it was his parents' car.
No, he stayed with his grandmother.
His grandmother probably got
it. I told Mustafa, oh, by the way, before we go any further, we want to give our condolences to Brother Durant. He lost his son.
Okay.
Yes, indeed.
Y'all know
yes,
Brother
indeed,
Durant,
yes,
don't
indeed.
You?
Brother Durant from where?
Mars 28.
Oh,
okay.
No, I'm not.
Yeah,
familiar.
I don't know if I met the brother. Yeah, I'm not sure if I met the brother.
He's been there for a long time. So, yeah, Marie Chappelle and the dog can make those threats against Donald Trump. Nothing happened. She's black. And there are whites that's been locked up because of that. And it does go on. I heard another white that was locked up and chained to a grate in the floor and not given nothing to eat and all that stuff. So, yes, those things go on. But, y'all, you know, you got to be fair with this. You got to, it's just like they talk about this critical race theory. Well, you tell the other side of the story. They only want to tell one side. There's two sides to the story.
Mm-hmm. What's the other side?
The other side is the side that they don't want to tell. Or the side that gets are the ones that they miscrew. Tell me the one side, I'll tell you the other side.
Now, what's the side that they tell? Side they don't tell. Share that with us.
It's the side that blacks be doing. It depends on who's telling the story.
Well, you don't
your lecture is only your lecturers only tell one side of the story.
What they tell?
Like they used to talk about the Bass Reed, first black U.S. deputy marshal. Bass Reed was a Creek Indian. He was not a native black American. Mustafa, what's going on?
He resting.
Well, you know, here's an opportunity. You talk about there's a shortage in solid state material. Here's an opportunity to start a business. You got container ships that's waiting outside the port to be unloaded, and that's costing a whole lot of money. Anytime you go beyond the time that's agreed to unload one of those ships, then you get fined. If them ships been waiting out there the length of time that they said, well, the material that they carry is going to be very, very expensive. But, you know, here's the thing, Roger. If that stuff was made in the United States, it wouldn't be a shortage now, would it? And also, it's an opportunity for those entrepreneurial blacks. Go over to Taiwan, Indonesia, where this stuff is being made, and strike a deal with them and tell them that we're going to unload it in the ports in Florida. They looking for a market, right? So if they find a new market, then that market that they got now is going to be less. That's the way you compete. Take part of that pie. Toilet tissue. Who's the black man that was making Liberty toilet tissue? You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
Well, this is an opportunity to kick it up a couple notches. And your Charmin and all that other is out there on them shifts and not going to be on the shelf. Well, they can move them right on out the way.
Right. Yeah, definitely some opportunities.
It is plenty of opportunities. Yep. That's kind of what Biden
agreed with that.
Biden kind of loses
Roger?
To that win. Yeah.
Cinnamon stockings. You know
huh?
the kind. You know the kind, them cinnamon stockings.
Oh. Cinnamon stockings.
Yeah, you wear cinnamon stockings, they're going to be hard to find. Go into business making cinnamon stockings for the ladies. So these opportunities, where's the outcry where's the outcry against Biden for messing with the historical black college and university money? Trump put it in place where for 10 years they would have X number of $1 billion. That way they wouldn't have to come back every year begging. Start begging in January and probably don't get anything till June. Trump said, well, you don't have to go through that now. I put it in place so you have X number of billions of dollars that's set aside for you for 10 years. No begging. Just go ahead and apply. It's there. Well, here comes Biden changing all that. Nobody's saying anything. You got a guy out there in Virginia.
Huh? You know what? See, here's what's interesting, too, though. Now, it also, to me, and I can be wrong, so correct me if I am, it also seemed like it was a high percentage of the, I guess, the students at the HBCUs that was against
mm-hmm.
Trump. So I wonder.
Well, they was told to do that.
But I'm like, why aren't they, you know, trying to be more support? I guess they didn't care. But you say,
in other words,
like
they should be complaining to Biden, who they was told to vote for, like at the Bethune College when Secretary of Education, can't think of her name. She spoke at Bethune College, and black students stood up and turned their backs at her. Well, she's talking about school choice. Now listen to this. She's talking about school choice.
Yeah.
Where we know what that offers. Well, now look at this. You got a man, McAuliffe, that's running for governor of Virginia, and he's against that. He say parents have no right to tell school districts how to teach their kids. And you got Obama, Harris, Stacey Abrams going in and out of black churches trying to get black folks to vote for him. It ain't been a good year when they have been bombarded with those instructions to vote for Biden. You had Clyburn bring Biden to the black churches where he made it infamous, if you ain't voting for me, you ain't black.
Yeah, he said that.
He did say that. Now, he said that in the Charlemagne interview. But I think Biden, a lot of people may be having voters' remorse messing around with Biden.
No, black folks will vote for him. As long as he's Democrat, they'll vote for him. Watch and see.
You think they'll vote for him again?
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to vote for him. That's what they do.
Now look, I wanna get your opinion, Carla, because I wanna shift gears just a little bit. I wanna get your opinion on this clip that I'm about to play. Now this is a clip from Condoleezza Rice. Y'all remember Condoleezza Rice? I think she was a former Secretary of State.
I heard about George W. Bush.
You heard about now she did an interview on the View or one of these morning talk shows, the View to Talk.
Is that
and
one
she was
with
talking
Oprah,
about
Whoopi Goldberg. I can tell you what I think of that right now.
Hold on. I want to play the clip just to give the other listeners the context, and then I'll let you go in. She's talking about critical race theory as it relates to the schools. But here we go. Check this out, y'all.
I grew up in segregated Birmingham, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't go to a movie theater or to a restaurant with my parents. I went to segregated schools until we moved to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
My parents never thought I was going to grow up in a world without prejudice, but they also told me that's somebody else's problem, not yours. You're going to overcome it, and you are going to be anything you want to be. And that's the message that I think we ought to be sending to kids. One of the worries that I have about the way that we're talking about race is that it either seems so big that somehow white people now have to feel guilty for everything that happened in the past. I don't think that's very productive. Or black people have to feel disempowered by race. I would like black kids to be completely empowered, to know that they are beautiful in their blackness.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to do that, I don't have to make white kids feel bad for being white. So somehow this is a conversation that has gone in the wrong direction.
Okay. That's the clip I wanted to share and, you know, get y'all opinions on that. But we'll let you go, Brother P. What you think about that?
Well, she's saying the truth because the way they teach critical race theory, trying to shame white folk. Whites didn't have nothing to do with that. These whites today, on the eve of the Civil War, less than 3%, I say again, less than 3% of any white faces had anything to do with slavery. And then they don't reveal how many were black that had something to do with slavery, but they say 28% of free blacks in the New Orleans area, which were mulattoes, a lot of them, had slaves. They don't talk about that.
Right. My thing is, you're talking about it as if racism don't still go on to this day.
Kids,
like it's just something in the past that don't happen no more.
It is in the past. Racism has nothing to do with skin color. Because when blacks do the same things that whites do, are they racist?
No, because we're not in a position of power. No, because
they got the power to do
of...
what the whites are doing. What are you talking about?
No, we don't control.
You
these
got to be kidding.
What do you mean? No,
you
sir,
got to
you
be
know,
kidding.
When you talk
what
about
what white people are you talking about, Kevin? But wait a minute. Let's make this. Let's get this a little bit clear. Which whites are you talking about?
I'm talking about the people who are classified as white. So that could include Anglo-Saxon white people. That could include
Name some white folks that's racist. That's got this power. The one that's driving down right now. You probably got one driving down West Florissant Avenue. So he's one, huh?
Well, we know that a lot of these. We can just go to the eases, the low hanging fruit, which is police brutality. We know a lot of police departments have been infiltrated by white supremacist gangs, and they're allowed in a lot of cases to kill black people with impunity, meaning they kill black people and get off a lot of times. And so,
well, you
that's
got blacks
dealing
that,
with,
you,
and then
you,
they,
you know, whites do the same thing. White police do the same thing. Why? Let me ask you something. Since the 28th to the 31st of May this year, up until the 18th of October, which is what, Monday? Actually, by Wednesday, I think it was. I mean, just think about that. That's 144 days. 144 days through the 22nd of October. You don't have 2,524 blacks shot by other blacks. Is that racism?
Here we go. Here we go. Was that
if it ain't racism, wait a minute. If it ain't, wait a minute. And no whites shot none of them. No white police shot none. Matter of fact, white police are quitting in Chicago.
So that was in Chicago, those stats. We always go back to Chicago.
Chicago Tribune, Chicago Sun-Times, and ABC7 are the sources. They print them out. They report on them every day. CNN don't report on them.
Okay, so but so, I'm saying when we talk about teaching critical race theory, why is she, and she grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, as she just said, and she knows better. Why would we be worrying about making white kids feel bad, who, by the way, is the most protected class in America, are white children? They never get in trouble. They can go shoot up a school and still get treated better than unarmed.
They ain't getting
person.
Treated better
so
than Simpson.
Why are we worried about hurting their feelings when it comes to telling the truth about history, about
because
racism,
they didn't have nothing to do with it, Kevin. They ain't had nothing to do with
still
it.
Practicing.
They
do
no,
have
they,
to
they,
do
with they ain't. They didn't have, these kids ain't had, them white males that work for me probably ain't had nothing to do with that. And let's think, you're
still,
talking about 3%.
But their group is
and here's
still
the, here's the big
racism
thing.
To this day.
Here's the big to thing on this. Here's the big thing on this. It's up to
yes,
the
sir.
Parents what they want their children to be taught. I don't care if it's black parents, Asian, Nigerian parents, white parents, whoever.
Right.
It's their responsibility what their child is taught. I emailed a text Mustafa a brochure coming out of Parkway School District, Parkway and Eureka. It shows cartoons of a one male giving another male blowjobs. That's being shown in the libraries.
Oh, no. No, that's not.
Oh,
no,
it is. Oh, yes. Ask. I think I might have sent one to Collective Minds, a copy of it.
No, somebody sent it to me. I'm not saying you're not telling what they're doing. I'm just saying that's not right. They shouldn't be doing that.
No, it's not that's right. That's the parents' responsibility. Like you got this guy that's running for governor saying that parents don't have no right. Like you got Merrick Garland, head of the FBI, is going to send FBI agents to parents that want to keep their school board accountable, talking about their domestic terrorists. So why come blacks ain't keeping their school boards accountable? Why out in Normandy they hire a superintendent that even certified to be a superintendent in Normandy School District? Where's the outcry on that? Normandy High School, math proficiency less than 5%, reading proficiency less than 14%, taking off a half day to celebrate George Floyd. Where is the outcry on that? And if they don't proper education where they're going to have something in high demand, they're going to be recycled through this thing called poverty. And chances are they're going to end up in illicit activities that's going to cause what people complain about to continue on and on and on. Anyway,
right.
Let somebody else talk.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Peace.
Bye, Roger.
Appreciate you.
All righty. Get off my line with that mess, caller, because I'm going to tell you what the big thing is. The big thing is if them kids know they didn't have nothing to do with it, then they should be able to sit there and listen without feeling sad or guilty. Let them go and teach the truth. If the truth is what it is, teach the truth. If you say they didn't have nothing to do with it, then therefore they ain't talking to them. So they should be able to just sit there and listen, like we had to sit there and listen when they was giving us the other side. That's the big deal.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And man, they didn't have nothing to do with it, but they benefiting.
Exactly.
They benefiting
to this
the actions of their great grandparents.
Right.
So don't feel shame now. If they didn't have nothing to do with it, as you say, as others say, they should be able to sit there and take it like they're watching a movie. They shouldn't feel like nobody pointing a finger at them. But if they're feeling guilty, you know why they're feeling guilty.
Then there's a reason. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Benefiting to this day. And like I say, in this country, we just got to keep it real. Like, white children are a very protected class. You know, we've seen videos of white kids literally shooting at the police, and the police is praying that he doesn't have to shoot back. Like, he's praying that he doesn't want to pull the trigger back. You know what I'm saying? We had white kids shoot up schools and whatnot and do mass shootings, and they like, oh, Timmy was just having a bad day, you know, and this and that, and, you know, maybe this needs to be talked to. And, you know, they're such a protected class. Meanwhile, when it comes to black children, we know how black children are treated. You know, you shoot first and kill later in a lot of instances. You can be, Tamir Rice, literally a kid playing in a park with a fake gun by yourself, mind you. No one else is in the park. No one else is being threatened. And you have police roll up and just kill him, and they get off. Don't serve a day in jail for killing the kid. You know,
and people,
yeah, and people are okay with that. And this, again, is done not per se by, you know, all the white children or all the white people, but it is their group that are committing these atrocities. And since they control the court systems and the media and, you know, a lot of these different institutions, they're able to give these people the benefit of the doubt and not charge these people correctly. When we know it, when the shoe's on the other foot, black people get charged to the fullest extent, you know, in a lot of cases. So, no, I don't want to hear it. And I'm not, and this is not to kind of defend critical race theory and whatnot, because I'm not too familiar with all the particulars and what they're teaching. But I do know that to a certain degree, there should be let's just say this. I'm not mad at no education that exposes white supremacy racism. I'm not saying that, you know, it'll change anything or there's some new information that white people need to not practice racism, because I believe they are the most educated when it comes to racism. In my opinion, if anybody needs to be educated on racism, it's black people. Otherwise, we would have solved this problem a long time ago. So when it comes to confusion about racism, I don't think white people are confused at all. I don't think there's any type of education they would need. I don't think there's no new information they would need. I don't think black people need to show them that we're human and that we're good people and good Negro. No, I think the information is out there. I just don't think that they ever want to stop practicing racism. And that's just what it is. And the sooner black people come to grips with those terms that as a group, they're never going to stop voluntarily practicing racism, then we can try to figure out how to solve this problem. Because I said many times before, I think that
is
what it is, the major problem that affects black people. And that's the one thing we need to solve. So when you talk about black-on-black crime, Chicago, black people shooting other black people, that is a direct result of the system of white supremacy racism, you know, and that's just what it is. So when we come to terms with that they're not going to voluntarily stop it, you know, again, we can solve the problem. But critical race theory, I'm not against that being taught. And again, if you feel guilty, then
it is what
there's
it
something
is.
There. You know what I'm saying? There's something there. But I digress. You feel me? Is there did you want to throw something else out there or respond, Queen Roger, or you want to see if we can grab another call?
It just kills me how, you know, people try to just ignore it and talk about deflection. My God, they would deflect when it comes to this issue. For some reason, I don't get it. I mean, they bring up a small percentage of incidents and just overlook the long years and history of how our community been treated, and bring up these small, minute, isolated incidents that happen. you know, to try to prove that racism don't exist. Yeah, it was some, they don't talk about the black people that had slaves. And come on now, how much of an impact? It don't even matter to me, because even if they did, look at where we are now and where we've been. And, you know, it's like, I don't understand how people just deflect on it and just try to make it seem like you.
Right, hello? 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 Hello, can you hear me? All right. Family, I think we're still on. I think Queen Raja may have dropped off, but I'm assuming that, you guys can still hear me. So we'll continue on until... you know, until she hops on. But again, you know, that clip I played of Condoleezza Rice, it's like, you know, she should really know better. Again, if she growing up in the 50s and 60s in Birmingham, Alabama, and like she said, a lot of the things, you know, in her community was segregated, right? You know, so you would think that she would know better. But again, she's worried about, you know, making little white kids feel bad. But it didn't seem like she was too worried about how black kids feel when they see, you know, different images and different things and how they're treated a certain way by, you know, the dominant society and whatnot. So... you know, I just think, you know, that was a disgraceful comment. You know what I'm saying? But I don't really expect much from Condoleezza Rice, considering she was, you know, working under Bush. And you know, somebody brought up the point when she was, I believe, the Secretary of State. They used to just call her Condi, like they never really respected her as, you know, Madam Secretary or whatnot, as you do any types of heads of state. They gave her a nickname. They was around administration calling her Condi and whatnot, just, you know, playing it off and in my opinion, being disrespectful, you know, to a person who has a certain title, who should be, you know, greeted in a certain type of manner, as they do everybody else. You know, they don't be joking around with Nancy Pelosi or any of these other women that are in high power position, or even when Hillary Clinton, you know, had a high cabinet position. So, you know, she should know better. So it's kind of like that was very
distasteful,
in my opinion. Distasteful.
Very, very distasteful. I heard that foolishness too. It was like, come on now. But yeah, mm-hmm. I apologize for that brief glitch. Got some bad weather around here, and so it had my system glitching for a second. But I know we run out, so I can go ahead and get to the caller that I attempted to bring on a second ago. So area code 319-572, caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Well, I wanted to talk about this video that we shared about this country boy. Talking about what's wrong with black society. That I know he comes off crude, but everything he says is to the point. Now, I'm going to update so everybody else knows. But he basically said, why should any other race give us any kind of credibility when we can't even take care of our own selves? We're steady fighting each other, killing each other over dumb stuff. We're letting our culture go to crap. And we're depending on another race. I know I've said it plenty of times. Where is all the conversation about neighborhood violence against each other, our own people?
Okay, well,
I know y'all coming. Come on.
Go ahead, Roger.
Okay, so what I was going to say is that there are a lot of outcries when it comes to that. Just like you just said, you say it all the time. You're not the only one. A lot of people say it all the time. It's said all the time. They have rallies all the time. So it's not like it's getting ignored. The thing is, you don't see any results, just like you don't see any results on the other issue that we discussed. It's an issue, just like the other thing is an issue. They're just two different issues.
How are we supposed to rise as a people if we're busy constantly tearing each other down?
We understand that. That's what I'm saying. Yes, I'm responding.
Yeah, so what? You have to hold your criminals accountable. That's part of it. Quit glorifying. Let them go.
That's the point that I'm making. Nobody's glorifying it. Just because you're not saying the results that you would like to see, that doesn't mean it's being glorified. There's outcry and outrage. I don't hear people not outraging about that. You just said you talk about it all the time. You're not the only person. You're just one person right now that's talking about how often they talk about it. But
hello?
Yeah, we here.
Okay.
But, just to follow up with Roger, I mean, people do have, stop the violence marches. They have speeches. They have, non-for-profits. There's a lot of things going on in a community to try to counter the violence in the black community. That stuff happens all the time. Right, but the thing is, the reason why the conversation is, well, they created the mess as it is. So
we can't be responsible enough to clean our own mess up? My kids make a mess all the time.
Exactly. We can and we are picking up the mess. However, if criminals are steady getting access to guns and drugs, how does the...
Well, quit falling into the trap, to the white supremacist trap. Falling into the trap.
Exactly. Exactly.
Leave them alone. They're falling in their trap.
Exactly.
When you get pulled over by a police officer, you know it's already on his mind to kill you. Why give him an excuse?
Right. And again,
I'd be seeing these inner city kids scared to death to walk to and from school in their own neighborhood. It's sad. It's really sad we allow these white folks to get, so much influence to destroy us like this, and, we just need to, man up and take responsibility, clean it up. When they start throwing it get out of here with it.
And that's what people are doing. This is what I'm trying to explain. People are doing that. There are people stepping up. But, again, they're going to keep pointing to Chicago and and all these other things.
Yeah,
but
that's because right now Chicago is the one under the microscope
design.
Right now. But Chicago is the one that's under the microscope right now. A couple years ago, it was Detroit.
Right.
Then it was Flint. You got even St. Louis at one point was under the microscope. It's
correct.
So just right now, it's Chicago.
Correct.
So,
buddy.
But it happens all over. It's not just, I'm gonna say it's not just Chicago. I know all big cities have these issues. So.
I mean, I understand, you know, what you're saying, caller, but I think, you know, the way you posing the question, it just gives me the impression that you're saying that somehow that the black community is A-OK with violence. Nobody wants violence. It's an issue that we deal with, just like racism.
But everybody loves those new rap videos glorifying it.
Yeah.
I sat down with my buddy the other day. He was watching some hip videos, and he was sitting there asking me. I told him, I said, I don't watch that stuff. I don't like what it promotes. It doesn't promote anything positive.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And that's part of what I mean by our culture is going to crap. When you got black women supposed to be women or ladies filming themselves taking a dump, and these are people that our kids are looking up to, come on.
Again,
so,
who put that on?
And again, we allow it to happen. We allow it to happen.
Yeah, the problem is this, you know. Another part of the issue.
And it's going to keep happening as long as we allow it. Once we put our foot down, say no more, then. So, but.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Mufasa over there so quiet. He wants to go there snoring.
No, I ain't snoring. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, okay. I just had to call you out because you've been quiet too long.
You pretty much already know partially what I'm going to say. But I'll give it quick in this whole essence on my feeling. Me and Roger went and talked about this a couple of days ago as well. I always say the medicine is out there to help heal black people. But they don't take it. For whatever the reason, they don't take it. They choose to do something else. If I have an ailment, I can choose to go to the doctor or I cannot go to the doctor and just let it get worse. And that's what, overall, we have done. We don't take the medicine. We have all types of mental issues and trauma that we won't seek the help to change. So it just kind of gets pushed along. And that's why it's so easy for other people to, if we want to say, keep us in the situation that we're in, we can go with it. Because how big of a fight are we really putting up to change our condition? You know, of course, being in the Nation of Islam, I always go back to 1975.
It's not really promoted as much as violence. I mean, like the media, it loves to take the violence that we do amongst each other, and they just pass it. They hardly ever, you know, positive.
Let me tell you this, Carl, this is what I noticed. And y'all can agree or disagree. What I notice is, okay, the youth is the future, right?
All we can
do is try to steer our youth to a certain point. But things that will benefit us, things that will improve our situation, our youth are not interested in that overall. Not all, but overall.
You know what a lot of our youth need?
They gravitate to foolishness.
Or parents.
our youth gravitate to foolishness. And that's just being real. Tell me where I'm wrong at. Our youth gravitate to twerking. Our youth gravitate to music that promotes ignorance.
Okay. So then we gotta say, hey, we ain't doing this no more.
Now that's why I'm getting well, hang on, Carl, because that's why I'm
ain't doing it no more.
In my opinion, unfortunately, things will not change until we are forced to change. I've been saying that for a while now. And it's just a sad reality of it. So we gonna continue to be like a dog chasing his tail until something, whatever it is that makes it happen, until we are forced to completely, all of us, do what's right. Until then, I guarantee you, 20 years from now, if we have in this show or some other platform, I guarantee
maybe
you we still have the same
maybe
issues.
Maybe we could do Brothers Zen.
Until we're forced.
Maybe we should do Brothers Zen.
Overall, we won't choose to do what's right. Like I say, they're not interested in things that's beneficial or that next. They want to have fun. They want to just enjoy everything. They don't take stuff serious. So it's nothing that we could do, in my opinion, besides make and force.
Part of the reason why they don't take stuff so serious is that they've been so desensitized. When we were younger, there was a lot of this stuff that they're seeing. See, our parents wouldn't let us see. We was lucky to watch Night of the Living Dead. What are you talking about? So
we've gotten way too comfortable. We've been given so many luxuries. You know, our television used to cut off at a certain time. Now we got it 24/7. As kids, we didn't have phones that we could just Google and see everything.
And get access to all types of things that our young minds shouldn't see.
We didn't have those things. Now we do.
A lot of our parents were really honest too. Our generation, our parents were really honest. The new generation don't have that.
All I can tell you, Carla, continue to do what you can do. Continue to be, a shining light. Continue to be positive. Continue to try to do things that you know will benefit our community. And that's all that we can really do until something happens where the rest of us are forced. Overall, we're going to continue, and I'm talking about overall as a black community, we're going to have these type of issues. You know, we're going to have them. They're not going to go away. The crazy part for me is, like, I've said before that, you know, I have the biggest worries that I have. Let me reword this. The biggest worries that I have, like, I got a grandson. And I'm more worried about my grandson getting killed or hurt by someone that looks like him over a cop that don't look like him or another non-entity. That's just the reality of it. We can say all the reasons for that, but the reality
is more likely he looks like him.
Yeah, that's what I'm more concerned about.
So,
you know, our daughters, all of us on here got daughters. What type of men are out here for our daughters? I'm talking about black men. We got to be concerned about the quality and the type of black men that's out here that we want our daughters to come up with. And vice versa, we can't leave our sons out either. What type of black women are we raising overall?
Right. Nah, that's agreed. That's definitely agreed. But I think on the other end of the spectrum, just real quick, I think on the other end of the spectrum,
thanks,
like,
Carla.
you know, yeah, right on.
Thanks, Colin.
Appreciate it. Yeah, we could fall into the, you know, things are getting worse and doom and gloom, but I see a lot of, you know, black people trying and doing a lot of things, not just trying, but doing a lot of positive, you know, powerful things to make that change. It's not going to be everyone, but I do see a lot of black people out here doing some good things, getting people together. Matter of fact, it was a story that just dropped recently about a high school where a group of fathers, you know, going to the high school and they just patrolled. It was a high school, you know, predominantly black that had a bunch of fights and things going on.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
a lot of the fathers came together. Yeah, it's a video that actually went viral this week. A lot of the fathers came together and they just go around there, they patrol, you know, greet the kids in the morning and, you know, do little things like that just to keep the kids on up and up. And it was like the improvement has been, you know, measurable. You know what I'm saying? You can actually see the improvement in the kids. The kids kind of straighten up. You know what I'm saying? Because ain't nothing like that daddy being around. You know, when you think you're about to act up or do something slick, you know, the fathers are around. And these are a group of black male fathers. You know, we got the myth out there, the deadbeat black dad and all that type stuff. But it depends on where you look. If you actually look, you can actually see that there are a lot of black people doing a lot of things to make those particular changes, you know, to make changes in our community. Now, a major problem is we're going up against a huge system that we know targets our kids. You know what I'm saying? We fighting a huge system that has a gay agenda against our kids, that has a gender agenda against our kids, that has what they call it, get to the bag, a money agenda. You know what I'm saying? We just getting hit from all type of angles. But I think overall, you know, people are doing what they do to fight this war as best they know how. And I think a lot of black people are doing a lot of good things. And I don't think, you know, the numbers that they portray and they're trying to make it look, I don't think it's as bad as they're saying. They're going to hype it up. They're going to put us on the news every night. We know the game with that. But if you look, you can find some good stuff. If you're looking for bad stuff, you're going to find that too. You dig what I'm saying? But I think black people are doing some good things out here, and we are trying to make moves to empower ourselves and do things for the community. It just depends on which angle now, you're looking at or where you're looking, you know?
Let me just say one quick thing to that, Brother Kev. I agree with you.
No doubt.
And I'm not saying everything is bad. I don't want to come off as that. But I do have to say that in our communities where it's the majority of us, and, you know, places like inner cities of Chicago and St. Louis, there are issues. Like, let's be real. Here in St. Louis, I feel I'm more subject to get, you know, hurt by violence in the community, in the inner city where the majority of us is, than if I'm in a community that's maybe mixed or more so another ethnicity or whatnot. And that's sad that it has to be like that, because I'm not going nowhere else. I'm going to continue to stay where my people is because I know that's where the help is needed. So I'm going to always be at that level of, you know, I got to really be careful and watch over myself because bullets be flying all the time. You know, I'm sure if you go from North St. Louis to Ladue, you don't have to sit out on stand up on your porch and hear gunshots every night. That's not the reality, but we have that reality in majority black communities. That's a fact. That's real. Show me, when y'all show me the 90% of better black community that don't have those things, let me know. Let me know where they at, because, shoot, I'm going to try my best to maybe get there. I'm going to try my best to move there. But in places where it's 90% of us are better, y'all got to be real. It's violence from the men and from the women. You got robberies. You got jackings. You got home invasions. You got prostitution. You got hella drug abuse. That's the reality.
Right. So let's do right. So look, let's do this, because it's kind of unfair to compare, you know, North St. Louis to Ladue based on the amount of resources. Show me a community that has money, middle class, black income. They don't commit crimes like that. There's not a lot of violence. So, again, our problem stems from economics. A lot of the crimes you see in the hood are due to lack of resources, lack of funds, economic crimes. Because black people that are well off and middle class, they don't commit violent crimes.
Ain't nobody trying to rob nobody and all this stuff.
Yeah, you could put that same, like, you got to compare North St. Louis to a trailer park community or a white community full of where their resources are scarce, and see how they act.
Hey,
you got all type of meth heads.
I'm glad you said that.
You know what I'm saying? You got all type of meth heads.
We need to compare it to St. Charles County. They got a spot called the West End. And because, you know, I worked in St. Charles, so I know where the ghettos of St. Charles is, where it's majority white folks. And don't get me wrong, there's crime, yes. But I've hung out in some of these white trashy areas. And I'm sorry, y'all, still, I do not be sitting on their porches and hearing, da 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 da, boo 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 boo. I don't be hearing that. I don't be hearing it, but hey, I hope we can continue this subject maybe next week, because it's a lot we need to go back and forth on, a lot of dialogue here, and I know we got like a minute left.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
so I'll let y'all wrap it up. Yeah, but we can definitely continue this conversation next week. But I'll just wrap it up. You know, appreciate the family for calling in. Appreciate everybody. We'll let Raiju and Mufasa wrap it up.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Carlos. Appreciate you.
Yeah, and I'd like to say thank you to all the callers as well for tuning in with us this Sunday. I had a whole lot to say about that last discussion, but I'll save it.
Don't forget, hold on to it.
I'm going to hold on to it, but I want to thank you guys for tuning in with us. I hate we didn't get a chance to get all the callers. We're sorry about that. Tune in with us next week. Next Sunday, each and every Sunday, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Like always, any show topic ideas you may have for us, send us an email at connectthemindsatyahoo.com. Find us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter. Find us on Instagram. Peace.
Who be been a peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. 2 weeks talking.
Like we walk in. Collective mind.
Play out, right?
Collective mind.
What they thought?